Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, the very top of the first of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ein choshen shen shema gira chulda mibayis lebayis." So we don't have to be concerned that a weasel took part of the chametz from a house to a house, and makom makom, or from one place in the house to another room in the house. Why, says the Mishnah? Because the imkain, if you have that concern and you're concerned for that possibility, then michatzer lechatzer meleir leir, also from one courtyard to another courtyard, or from one town to another town, then ein ledavar sof, there would be no end to this matter. Why? Because if we're assumed that you have to be concerned about chametz in one particular room, then you would have to be assumed that the animal is dragging it from one area to another area, and that would mean that everyone would have to do bedika at the same exact time in order for the bedika to work. Because if I do it a 5 minutes before you, I could assume that 5 minutes after, when he did the bedika, that maybe in the meantime the weasel came, took it from his house and brought it to my house. So obviously that's not something which is practical, and therefore we said even for the rooms, we're not going to necessitate that someone has to check every single room at the exact same time. Now the Gemara is analyzing our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, "Taima delo chazina deshaka." We can make a diuk, we can make an inference in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is telling us that when do we assume that you don't have to assume that the chametz was moved? When you don't see a weasel taking any of the chametz there. However, ha chazina deshaka, if we see that the weasel takes some of the chametz there, so then chayshinan ubay bedika, then we would have to be concerned that the entire house would have to require a new bedika, because if you see it going into the house, then you would have to assume that there's chametz in the house. So the Gemara asks, "Vamai?" But even in that case, why should we require a new bedika? Nema achalta, let us say that the weasel ate the chametz, so it is no longer there. If the weasel ate the chametz, then it's no longer there. So then why do you have to assume that it was left over? So the Gemara says, "Mino tan," and I'll give you, the Gemara is now saying, I'll give you a basis for this, because the Mishnah tells us in regards to Tumas Mace, that if you have meduros ha'ovde kochavim, a place where the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they live, they are assumed to be Tamei, because they bury their Nephilim over there. It's just important to note that there's a big shaila in Maseches Olos, Rashi quotes this Arichos over here, that there was a big shaila when it comes to a non-Jewish dead body. A dead body of a non-Jew is Tamei Midah Arei, so the shaila is what? According to the Rabban and his Tamei, everything, Ohel, Maga, touching it, or Masa, or carrying it. However, Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Rashbi, he holds that they're not metame ba'oel, only a Yisrael is called oel, and not a non-Jew. So that by oel, by tumas oel, having them go over you, being in the same room as a mace, that does not make you tame. So Rashi says that this Mishnah still is lekulei alma, because we're still afraid, even according to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, that you're going to touch it. That maybe they'll touch it, so we're going to, this halacha is going to be lekulei alma. Rashi just goes out to point this out. So again, we're assuming that in a place they live, they are assumed to be, that whole area is going to be tame, because we're afraid that they would bury the stillborn babies over there, and they would be past the age of when they would become, not be a problem anymore. They'd be considered really a life that was buried, and therefore, there'd be two betame, either be'ol or be'maga, you'd touch it. So the Gemara says, when was this? So, v'kama yisha b'madar v'yeh madar tzarech b'dika. So the Mishnah tells you, how long does the person who worships Avodah Zarah have to live there in order to say that it requires a new search? So the Gemara says, arba'im yom. If he was there for 40 days, at that point, that's the amount of time that he needed a fetus to develop, enough to transmit tumah. At that point, we can assume he buried it over there. In that case, you'd have to be choshish. So I just was wondering, so how was happy that Meiri asked this kasha, is why does it matter if he was there for 40 days, because that's how long it takes an Eiffel to be. And let's say he was there for less than that. Maybe the woman he was with was pregnant beforehand, and she came in, and then 10 days after, you should be choshish. I'm not sure exactly why that is. That's what we showed him deal with that kasha, apparently. The Gemara says, alpha pisha ain lo isha. And this is the case, even if the guy does not have a wife. Even if he doesn't have a wife, we assume that they buried a stillborn over there. Why is that? Because Rashi says, "Lafisha choshed al aznus." We're afraid that he's promiscuous. He would have relations with anyone who comes in, and therefore he was living with someone outside of wedlock. That's something that's common even nowadays. And so that they would have a nefil and they would bury it over there. This is why we're bringing this mishnah. That the point is that any place a chulda or a pig, a weasel or a pig was yachol in lahalech, is able to go in tarach bedika. This area does not require a new bedika, because we assume that any part of the dead body that was left over and they buried over there, the weasel is going to eat the whole thing, and therefore we don't have to assume there's any problems. So now the question comes on to chametz: why do we assume that over there, when it comes to the case of the dead body, we assume that the weasel eats the whole thing, but when it comes to chametz, we don't assume that the weasel eats the whole thing? Why should there be a halachic difference? The Gemara answers: Amar Rabbi Zira, lo kasha habibasra havelechem. Rabbi Zira says that this is not a kasha, because the Mishnah, with regards to the avodah zara, that guy burying the dead body is bebasra. He's talking about basra means meat, but here's referring to flesh of the human body. That's flesh, and that tar is going to be We're going to see the words of Lashira and Lechem, and I want to talk about bread. But Basar, Lo Mishar, when it comes to flesh, the weasel doesn't leave anything over. So therefore, the weasel can, we can assume, ate the whole thing, there's nothing remaining. However, Belechem Mishar, the bread, we're assuming the weasel does leave a little bit over, and therefore we have to assume that there was chametz already in the house somewhere else. We have to also assume, I didn't see point this out, but Lechor, it's Pashut, that it has to be more than a kazayas that was left over, because it was less than a kazayas. That's what we saw in Davav, that Lechor, it was Mefurish from the Gemara over there, that if you have less than a kazayas, you don't even need the bittel. Lechor, you don't need a, you don't have a problem with the crumbs. It's not mamish crumbs. You have to assume that's leaving over more than just simple crumbs. Lechora, that's what you have to say. I didn't see anyone say that before. Gemara says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Hi, Mai. So, when in the world are you comparing of this? He doesn't like the question. Bishlam Mahasan, what was the question's premise? Is that we're talking about the case of the person when it comes to Avodah Zarah, is there's two sfeikos over there. Imor Hava, Imor Hava. Because we have a first, who even says that there was a dead body? I don't know if there's a dead body there. So that's, I have a first suffix. V'im Tim Salomar Hava. And even if you want to assume that there was once a dead body there, Imor Achalte, you could say that maybe the weasel then ate it. Therefore, the assumption that the weasel ate it is not going to be, it's going to negate the fact that it even was a dead body there. So you really have two sfeikos. It's interesting that the Lashon of Rashi doesn't use the concept of sfeik, something we're similar with. It just points out there's an extra suffix. I'm not sure why Rashi doesn't use the concept of sfeik. Lamaisa, but either way, you have two sfeikos according to Rava. Avalhacha devade chazin and the shakal over here, though, in the case of the chametz, where the concern is for sure, meaning we saw, beferish, we saw with our own eyes that the weasel took the chametz into the house, then how could you say miyamar da'chalt? There's only one suffix, is did he eat it? Have a suffix uvade, meaning I know for, what's the suffix of vaday? I have a, for sure a case where I know that the chametz entered the house, and I don't know if it was completely in. So then says Rava, you can come to the conclusion, v'ein suffix motzi mevedada. We have a concept that you can't have a suffix. It's something that's uncertain. Remove the doubt, remove a chazaka status, the status, halachic status, from the din. Meaning that we assume that the halachic status, that there was for sure chametz in this house, and I'm not sure if it was removed or not. The fact that I'm not sure if it was removed is not going to be enough to assume that there's no chametz currently in the house right now. So the Gemara wants to analyze what Rava says. The Gemara says, is that really true? V'ein suffik motzi mevada, is it really true that the concept of something being uncertain does not remove a suffik from something that you know for sure has a chazakah status, something that's being done? V'atane, wasn't it taught in a braisa that chaver shemes v'niach megura melea peros, if you have a chaver who dies, a chaver, we mentioned him before, right? This chaver we had in the beginning, if he died, and we think we saw this in Dalam and Beis, the Gemara over there talked about this case, this exact case, if you have a chaver, because I was talking about chazaka b'tikas chametz, comparing it, not going to that Gemara over there, but lemaisa, we had this concept of a chaver. A chaver is someone who is very careful to take off truma. Maisa, you could assume that it's like someone who's very firm, you could assume like a rav, he's, you know, very, very firm, he's very careful, you can just eat his produce without having to worry whether he took off truma, truma maisa. So what if he dies, and he didn't tell you that he took off the truma or maisa. He didn't know if he took off the truma or maisa, he had a filam neyaman, even if they, the produce is the same exact day that he died, you can assume you could assume that he took off the you could assume that he took off the truma. Now it's important to note that the pile of produce is going to have gone through the process of meruach. Rashi discusses this. Of meruach, meruach means that when you're smoothing it out. When you're smoothing it out, that's considered the final act of the process of harvesting, and that's going to be a gemara melacha, that's going to be kovea for meiser, even mid the araisa. That's going to be a point where it becomes tevel, so you know for sure that it's tevel, you know for sure that you're chayav to take off the truma. So says the gemara, so vehacha, divadet tevel haneperos, so this is for sure tevel, as we mentioned, it went through even mid the araisa, it's going to be tevel, vesafik musarin, vesafik umusarin, yet we're not sure that it is, you took off the meiser or not, vekaasi safik umetim midavade, yet the braisa is telling us that this uncertainty, that it was this status that the chaver generally does something, is going to remove the status of teva. It's important to note that again, we're assuming that the guru was on a level for sure that is telling you that his midaraisa is going to be chayav. Why don't we, the question that some achronim discuss is the binas adam asked this question is why don't we go after the rov? Rov is nifshat a suffik. There's a famous chakira. It's important to note this that people should always be familiar with this that the Rav Shimon Shkap brings down and he says that there's two fundamental things that we can understand between a chazaka and a rov. Two fundamental differences is that one is that one difference on two sides, meaning that a chazaka is anhaga. A chazaka is the Torah is telling you how to act. It's not creating the metzias. A rov is a majority. You assume that for sure that is what the case is. So generally, a rov is much stronger, right? Ruba vechazaka, ruba adif. That's explaining that rule. Explains a lot of different things. That a rov is not just a way to act. A rov is you can be certain that there's a metzias. Another afkamina, let's say you can make a shvua that this is the case. Let's say you have three pieces of meat and two are kosher, one is not. You can make a shvua that if you take out one of them, right? The famous case that third piece you can swear because of the rov tells you that that's kosher. You could swear that's kosher. Chazaka, you don't have a right to swear when it comes comes to chazaka, because it's just telling you how to act. It's not a chazaka that's the metzias. So here, the Binas Adam asks a question: why don't we assume that we go after a rove, and that should be something is for sure going to answer a nifshat asafek? It's not going to be a question even. So he answers that maybe we can say that this is called a rove hataloi b'maisa, that this is something was is depending on performing an action rather than something occurring naturally, and therefore that is something that would not necessarily fall on the general halachas of rove. A fascinating deal over here. A lot of lumdus on this daf. Also, the next lumdus also would have a lumdus shasugi as opposed to halacha maisa. But it's very nice, very important topics either way. So the Gemara now continues. The Gemara says again. So why are we assuming that they were taken off? Because we don't have a rove. We just have a chazaka necessarily. Just way to act. You don't have. Why do you assume that this is the case? So the Gemara says no. We can also assume hasam vaday uvadehu. We can also assume that this is a certainty. The havade maser k'Rabbi Chanina Chazai. We can assume the produce was certainly taken off as Rabbi Chanina Chazai told us. The Rabbi Chanina Chazai chazaka al chavish in motzi metachas yodav davar shein mesukan. This chazaka is apparently strong enough to assume that this definitely happened. The fact that he took off the chumah is a really strong chazaka. So again, there's different levels of chazaka. So here, you are allowed to assume that this chazaka is like it had happened, even though again, with the Rishim Mishkab's not understanding, we still don't assume it's a metzias, but it's a way that you have the right to be knowing. It's a way that you have the right to say that this actually in fact happened. And so that would mean that you could assume that he took it off, even meaning the natural way, the based on Rashi, that it happens, is the chaver is very careful immediately to take off his chumah umayser. In that case, you can assume that this is the metzias. So his general anhagas, the way he generally does things is so strong that you can assume that this is going to create the mitzvah. And where it says v'ibayis ema, give another answer. Ema safek v'safek. No, you can assume that there are both cases of safek. Why? Because dilma miikara emar delot tefila. Maybe this case is actually not necessarily tevel. Rabbi Yoshi, as we know, Rabbi Yoshi told us in a different context. Rabbi Yoshi. Ma'arim adam al tvasa. There's a way a person can marim was always a harama, right? We had this a few times already. It's like cheating a little bit. Is avoiding a daraisa, like maybe potentially is like let's say selling your chametz sagoy is potentially a harama. Like it really is supposed to get rid of it. But okay, the ma'isa not getting into the thing. It's like being whatever the word is to not be the most 100% glatt way to do the mitzvah, so you can avoid doing ma'isa. How do you do that? Is that if you take the grain of mechnisa b'motzila, you take it in its chaff kedeshet teheh behemta. So the animal should be able to eat the Pturim and the Meiser, and it's still going to be exempt from Truma Umaisus. Why is that? Because, as we mentioned before, that there's a few different things that are Koveh from Meiser. One of them is Meruach. Another one is Ro'eh Pnei HaBayis. That when the produce Medel Reisa is going to be, if it comes to the house, when it's brought into the house through the front door, that is Koveh also for Meiser. That's called Nigmar Malachto. So now, if you bring it into the stage where it was before, it was ready yet, it was still in its chaff, so then when it now has the Ro'eh Pnei HaBayis, it never had the Meiser obligation, now it's already in the Meiser, it's already there, then Medel Reisa, it is going to be pater. Midrabanan, it is going to be chayav. Tosa is going to ask that question, we'll mention in a moment. But lamaisa, midrabanan, it's chayav. Midaraisa, it's not chayav. So we're on a daraisa level there. So we're assuming that midaraisa, it's not going to be chayav and meiser. So, however, midir abanan, it is chayav and meiser, and that's why you're only allowed to feed it to your animals. A person's not even allowed to chivas keva, so that's why the Mishnah over here specifically mentions it as using it to feed your animals as opposed to eating it, because you're not allowed to have a chivas keva, you're not allowed to have a full-fledged regular meal with this produce, because midir abanan, we require you to take off meiser. So the Gemara now says, what do we assume over here? That this case is a case where there's another set another shaila over here. The other shaila would be that at the end of the day, maybe there's not a full-fledged chiv of meiser, maybe it wasn't really tevel. That's the point, is that the Gemara would be assuming, again, that that this din of the fact that you're consuming it is not a problem over here. But Labaisa, at the end of the day, it's a din derabanan. So why aren't we choshesh? So Tosfos says a big chiddush over here. Tosfos assume that the fact that it's derabanan, we didn't, they didn't necessarily make a gzera over here. We don't consider that as a suffix. The fact that it's vaday tavam derabanan, that would be okay because, for whatever reason, derabanan weren't kosher. So again, in this case, we're assuming that since it's not necessarily true 100% that it's tevel, at least on a daraisa level, we can call that a safek, and therefore it's going to be a safek motzi midei safek. Okay, the very fascinating din that comes out of here about chazaka. Just an interesting chacham svi that takes this halacha lemaisa. The chacham svi was discussing a case in your hanagas in terms of the way that you act. The chazaka is based on hanagas. He actually based on this gemara's psak. Is let's say you have a case where a guy he always eat ala mechia and bori nefash. So he has to have both. So he had cookies and he had a drink, and he knows for sure that he did not say ala mechia, but he's not sure if he said bori nefashos. However, but he knows that 99% of the time he'll make an ala mechia first and then a bori nefashos. So if he didn't say ala mechia, the most kelik case is that in fact he did not make a bori nefashos either. You have the right to assume he didn't make a bori nefashos either. So the chacham si wants to be mechadish that you have a chazaka that since he always says ala mechia and then only after the mechia would say bori nefashos, he can go after the chazaka and assume that in fact this would be the case. And he says and also that Tosfos point out that you're allowed to rely on this for Isser Darbanan, as we just mentioned that Tosfos. So since it's only an Isser Darbanan of of making a bracha levatala is only an Isser Derabanan, says the Chacham Tzvi in our Gemara, that you can make the Bor Nefeshes as well, because that's the way he generally does something. That's the chazaka of how he did things, and comparing it to our case of taking off the Tevel or Meiser, fascinating Shaila. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, is that really true? Ain Safik Motzi Badai? Again, questioning this assumption that really something that's uncertain has no ability to affect the status of something which is certain. The Gemara says that really true. V'atana, don't we learn in the Braisa? Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Maisa b'shfasa shal meitzik echad b'riman. There was once something that happened with the slave woman, a meitzik is someone who's matzik, is not a nice person, who oppresses her, he's a not nice guy. And Rimon, she'etila nefel abor. Either way, so what happened over here? We don't exactly know what happened, but l'maisa, she had a stillborn and she threw it into a pit. The Gemara says, "Uba koin vehitzitzbo," and the coin came later over it and looked to see leida im zachar im nekevah, to know whether it was a male or a female, because we know that there's different tuma statuses. We had this earlier about tuma vatara, that if a woman miscarries, she's going to have the status of tuma vatara. It depends if she miscarries a boy or a girl. If it's a boy, then it's 1 week and 33 days, right? 1 week of nida status and 33 days, whatever blood she sees on a deraisa level is not dam nida at all, and she's totally allowed to be with her husband after the 7 days. She goes to the mikvah and she has no problems. However, for a female, it's 14 days of, it's double on both ends. It's 14 days of Tumah and 66 days of Tara. That's 66 days, those are the 66 days. If she sees blood, they are not blood that's going to be Metame. So again, so the Kohen was wondering what her status is. So he peeked over the pit to see if it was a boy or a girl. And the Chachamim came and they said, V'tiaru, and they said that the Kohen is going to be Tara, he's not going to be Tameh. Because the weasel and the Bardalas, so Bardalas is a big subject. We had the Bardalas in Shabbos a few times. The Bardalas comes up often. What exactly it is not really clear. And they were showing him, some say it's a type of polecat, some say it's a type of whatever, a cheetah, I don't know, different things that they say. This is either some sort of animal that comes and is going to eat it over here. Weasel and this other animal is definitely going to come, is going to come there, and therefore you can assume that it dragged away before the Kohen had a chance to lean over the pit. Rashi just points out, why in the world was the Kohen leaning over in the first place to know whether it was a Zachar or a Nekeva? At the end of the day, isn't an Isser D'oraisa for the Kohen to be Metame? L'maisa, they were checking his status, but why did the Kohen do this in the first place? So Rashi says that the one gear of Rashi is that Osa Kohen wasn't, he lo nizkar. He forgot the Isser. It's a fascinating thing. He was checking the status Tuma of a Tuma Vitara of a boy, a male or female. He didn't realize that there's an Isser for a Kohen. I find that hard to believe. L'maisa, there's another gear I thought makes more sense in the Rashi, but again, who might change the Girsa? Rashi says in the other Girsa is that he wasn't being so careful. He wasn't being as careful as he should be. He should have been more careful and not gotten into this suffix. Either way, the Gemara continues. Wait a second, though. Going to our point, wait a second. She for sure had a stillborn into this pit. And we're not sure whether or not the weasel of Bardalas had already dragged it away at that time. And yet we're assuming that the Braisa is telling you that the fact that maybe this weasel came in and took away the corpse before the Kohen leaned over, we're assuming that status is enough to assume that the Kohen is no longer going to be Tameh. Yet, we seem to be assuming that Safik is Motzi Midevadai to Nifshat the Safik, that the Kohen is not going to in fact be Tameh. So the Gemara answers, Lo Tema Sheitila Nefe Labor. Don't assume that the Bryce is telling you that the stillborn was thrown into the pit, meaning that she knew it was definitely a stillborn child. Rather, Ela Ema Sheipila Kimin Nefe Labor. Say rather that it means that someone who threw something resembling a status of a stillborn into a pit. Meaning, you're not even sure if it has the status of, sometimes there's an earlier stage, which is what's more, and either phrases as shvir male ruach, that it's a something that's just simply a discharge, it's not even considered a nefel at all. Wouldn't have the status of a nefel, wouldn't have a status of a dead body, wouldn't have status of anything. So she wasn't even sure if in fact there was a dead body at all, a stillborn dead body at all, and therefore you don't have to assume that there's a problem. So therefore they're both suffik, there's a suffik with suffik, and a suffik can be nifshat one suffik. One case of doubt can't be nifshat the case without a doubt. So the Gemara says, so v'ha suffik v'suffik, again, passing what I just said, that if you have, both cases are uncertain, it's not sure whether or not there was bichlal a nefil, whether there was a stillborn at all. And you're also not sure if the weasel had taken it away before the Kohen had leaned over. So now the Gemara says, but it doesn't fit with the lashon of the Braisa though, because the Braisa said "Vahaleida im zacharu im nekeva hu ktani." The lashon of the Braisa was that the Kohen leaned over the pit to check whether or not it was a male or female. It doesn't imply that he didn't assume it was a nephil at all. Rather, it seemed to be whether just it was a zachar nekeva, whether it was a male or female. That's all he was checking. He knew for sure it was vadei tame. That's the implication of the Braisa. So the Gemara answers this as well. The Gemara says "Ha'achikamer." This is what the Braisa is telling us. "Leida im ruach yipila im nephil yipila." The Kohen was sent to ascertain whether the mother had discharged again this ruach, this shvir male ruach, which is an earlier stage, which is not going to be chayav, or v'imtin to lomar nevel bilar. If you want to conclude that she discharged actually a stillborn, then leitaim zachar mekevi. Then he was checking whether or not it was a male or female to know whether she was going to be tame for 7 days or 14 days, and then the 66 or 33 days of tumah v'tara status, as we mentioned earlier. That's what he was checking. So therefore, we can see that the kohen ruled her tame not because of the suffix of the stillborn being dried up, but rather because, we assume that it was both a case of suffix and not, it was two sveikos, and therefore he had the right to be makil and look over. So the Gemara said, he had the right to assume that he was tahor and not being tame. So now the Gemara says another answer, ve'imais ema, hasam vadayu vadihu, or you could assume that both cases are a case of certainty. Keva de chulda u bardalas metuyan sham, since the weasel or the bardalas were generally there, you can assume most times that they're there, vade gro ba'ishat, you could assume that for whatever reason, the rove is that they definitely dragged it away at that time. So therefore, you can assume, since they took it away, that that's what they generally do. So they didn't take it away right away. They generally are going to move it away, and then the Kohen didn't have to assume that he was Tameh. So by answering this, we're assuming over here that there's a rove chance, something very likely, that the Kohen does not bend over at a time where the mace was actually there, because the weasel probably took it away. So based on what we said before, the Mishnah is implying that a weasel takes the bread into the house, we can't assume that it ate everything up. However, we should also not assume, if that's the case, we should also not assume that the weasel is going to drag away the fetus. Basically, we're rejecting the previous answer. That's what Rashi points out. So the Gemara continues then. If we're rejecting the answer that the weasel completely dragged away the fetus, then nihi dishiure mishari, then maybe the weasel may leave some over. However, migra miyaz vada gura ba'ishaita, for sure, it dragged it away from where the coin was. Apparently, that's common, that the weasels drag it away, so we can be assuming that the coin looked over the pit, and he looked down. At that point, the weasel dragged it away from where it was, definitely from air being him being mahal over to him being oel, and therefore we could assume that it was not the case that he was going to be tame. And when it comes to our case of the case of carrying the bread into the house requires a new bedika, because there's a possibility that some chametz remained in the hole in the house. That's what we're assuming, as opposed to here. It could have been somewhere in the pit, but not the area of the pit. It would be underneath the pit, at the point where no longer the coin would be bending over and being mahil and creating an ol, tumas ol, over the dead body. So that's what we're assuming. Okay, well, the Lishna Achrina, we usually leave out the parentheses, really just saying the same thing. So that's why most people take out the girsa of Lishna Achrina, so we'll go weiter. So the Gemara says, is that really true? Is it really true that we can assume that a weasel may have dragged the chametz into the house after the bedika? But the Mishnah tells us, whatever chametz one does leave over after the bedika, you should make sure to be yanichena betzina, put it in a place which is secure. Shelo yetzarech bedika acharav, so you should not. So why? Because if you don't leave in a secure place, we can assume that maybe the weasel had taken it out and put it somewhere else in your house, and therefore you would have to do a new bedika. So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, lo kasha, har bar basar, and ha b'shloshasar. That the two rulings of the Mishnah are dependent on which day it is. The Mishnah that told you that you have to be choshesh is on the night of the 14th. The Mishnah that telling you don't have to be choshesh on the 13th. Why is that? Because the following. Bishloshasar deshriach rifta bekula baita. On the 13th, the bread is common all over the house because you didn't get rid of all your chametz yet. Lominitzana, the weasel knows in its body, whatever it feels, the Pesach's coming, it knows that it doesn't have to store any chametz, therefore it is gonna only, it's not gonna drag more than it's gonna be eating for that night. However, Barbasar, on the 14th, he knows already that Pesach is coming. Loshriach rifta bekula baita. And it's common in all the houses, mitzina, that they're not gonna have, he's, oh my god, they're gonna go to for Pesach, it's only gonna be matzah, so I have to be careful, I want to have my chametz now. So the weasel knows in its mind that it has to drag it away and store some for later. So the Rava asked the obvious question, I'm a Rava, v'chi chulda nevi'ai, is a weasel a navi? It's also a play on words, we know chulda really was a navi, right? She was a times of Yirmiyahu, she was a navi towards the end of Bayis Rishon, also warning the Jews to do tshuva. So at the end of the day, so he was playing on words, but he's saying, is a weasel a prophet? How does the weasel gonna know that the next day is chametz? Is the next day is Pesach, and the other Aina are based of law Ape Adorta Mashab Tama, that it knows that now's the 14th, that tomorrow night is Pesach, and I have to be careful. It's interesting. Well, Maisa, there are some animals that are really, really that notice a lot of things. They know they come at the same, like I said, these ducks that come to my house, they come every single day, the same exact minute they would come every single day during X amount of time. So maybe they did know. I don't know. Maybe it was in the program in these animals' bodies to know. Whatever way, Rava said that's ridiculous. It can't be that's the case, that the animals should know, and that would change the effect of the chazaka. So it says Rava, so what's going to be the answer? Why is there one Mishnah telling you that we are afraid that the animal is leaving over food, and the other Mishnah telling you the animal is not necessarily leaving over food? So it says the Gemara, Elamar Rava, Masha Meshaya Yanechenu Batzina. Whatever chametz one leaves over, you should put it in a secure place. Why? Because maybe the weasel will take some in front of us, you see the weasel taking it out. And once you see the weasel taking it out, then you would need to do a bedika, because we learned before that when you see a weasel taking chametz out, then you actually have to be, in fact, concerned that he brought it somewhere in the house and you need a new bedika. And the Gemara says, Tana Kavasa, the Rav, we have a brisa supporting Rava. Harotzil echo chametz archa bedika. If someone wants to eat chametz after the bedika's chametz, ketel yaseh, what should he do? What he leaves over afterwards, he should put in a private place. And if he puts it in this, in the sinna, in the plus, translating before, a secure place, that because you have to be careful that the weasel doesn't take it in front of you. Bifaninu, that's the raya, that it's like Rava, that if you do it in front of you, is a problem. Sounds like if we don't do it in front of you, you don't have to be choshesh. And then you'll require a new bedika. So again, this is medir like Rava, because the lashon of bifaninu is showing that only inner presence is going to be a problem. So the Gemara continues, the Gemara explains, Rav Mari gives a different explanation why there's a steer in the Mishnah. It's because he says, Gzira Shaminach Eser V'im Tzatesha. Just a different reason why the Mishnah tells you have to be careful to be matznia, to put in a secure place and not lose the chametz. Because if you left over 10 pieces of chametz and you only find 9, in that case you would need to do a bedika on the whole house, assuming that maybe it went somewhere else. That's a very big shiloh of that's a big problem. Everyone should be very careful. Write down maybe where he's putting those 10 pieces, because it always happens every year that someone forgets where one of the pieces are. He only comes out with 9 and he knows he had 10. That is a major issue. You really have to do bedika in the entire house again until you find the 10th piece. Lameisa, that's why it's also recommended to do a pieces that are all less than a kazayas. Because if you can't find one of those pieces and more kazayas, you have major issues. If you have less than a kazayas, then you really make her din, like we saw before. That's already called pirurin in the chora that you don't necessarily have as much of an issue with. So now they give out in these little plastics, like they managed to sell everything now. So you can sell in little plastic bags so it doesn't get crumbs. Each piece less than a kazayas, and you have the 10 pieces exactly marked, and you should write down on your phone or something on a piece of paper before where you're putting each piece, so you don't have any issues with that as well. Now the Gemara continues quoting a lot of different scenarios about interesting dinim that come up. So the Gemara says, Teishu tziburin shel matzah ve'echad shel chametz. And now if you have 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz, ve'asa achbar v'shakal, and the mouse came and took from one of the pieces of the pile and he carried it into the house, ve'lo yadina ni matzah shakal chametz. I have no idea which one it took. Did it take the case of matzah or the pieces of chametz? So now, do I need a bedika again or not in the house? Because if it's matzah, I already bedika. If it is chametz, then I have to do bedika in the whole house. So says the Gemara, Hayna Teisha Chanios. This case is going to be similar to the case of 9 stores that we mentioned in the Brisa in Ksuvis. So the Gemara says, as we see in the Brisa in Ksuvis, Piration first will give it. However, if it separated one of the piles, then V'asa Achbar V'shakal, and meaning if first it was separated, you don't know which pile Bechlala took it from. It was separate piles. You don't know where the Achbar. You didn't see it come to take it from any of the piles. You just found something in its mouth. So then it would be behind a sefer of the following. Really, it should be. It says it's not, but really, it's a brisa. It's a disanya. This is a brisa in ksubas, and it's going to require a little bit of explanation. We'll quote the brisa first, and then we'll explain. So the brisa tells us, Tesha chanios kulan mokrin baser shchuta. If you have 9 stores, all are selling kosher meat. One is selling devila, it's treif meat. Someone bought something from one of these stores. And he doesn't know. Which of them you purchase it? Sveiko, Usr. The suffix is going to be Usr, even though you have nine stores selling kosher meat and 1 selling treif. Why is that? So the Gemara in Ksuvas, and then the first parak discusses this, learns it actually midaraisa. This is a case of daraisa. Is that normally when we have a case of a suffix, we would go after a rov, holchen achar rov. However, this is something else. This isn't necessarily your general case of a suffix. Rather, here is the case where we say, is kol kavua kemechta mechta dami. Here, the object in question is being halachically viewed as it coming from something that's equal. Because at the end of the day, it's kavua. Because the stores are considered kavua, the fact that the kavua is there, and that for the Gemara learns it out, there's a lot of lumdus mind that's not getting told. Just the pashup shot is that something is kavua, something that is fixed there, we treat it as a 50-50 suffix. So since and important to note is that when did this suffix come up? When did the suffix come up? Is that I know that the suffix come up from that I bought it from one of the stores. So your suffix is about a kavua, is about something that is fixed, and therefore we have the principle of kol kavua kemechta, that something which is a fixed in its place is going to be treated as a 50-50 suffix, and you have no right to be makel rather because the suffix daraisa lechumra. However, if it's nimtza, if the meat was found on the ground outside the store, I have no idea the chlal from which of the stores it came from, meaning my shaila is not a shaila that is now dependent on the stores, rather it's found on the ground. I have no idea where it came from at all. Then I have the right to holech achar rov. I can go after the majority. Since the majority is still kosher meat, in that case I can be makel. So why is that? Because in the case of a year, we have a concept of kol depart. parish, meruba parish. Whatever is separated is assumed to have separated from the majority. Since the majority of the stores sell kosher meat, I have the right to assume it may be eaten. Again, the leidas safek over here is the safek is only about, yes, eventually it came from one of the stores. That's true. But at the end of the day, I didn't see it come out of any of the stores. I don't know which store. The first question was, I took it out of a store for sure. I just didn't know which one I took it from. So my question is really fundamentally on the stores, on something that's kavua. Here, the leidas safek on that something that's parish, something is to have been separated from the majority. Since something was separated from the majority, on that right, I have the right to assume the principle of kol de parish, meruba parish, whatever is separated is to assume to represent the majority, and I can be makel. So how did that translate into our case? The same thing that if the mouse took a piece from one of the piles, I saw it taken from one of the piles, I just didn't know if the pile was the chametz pile or the pile of the matzah pile, then I have to assume that's from kavua, because the piles are kavua, they're considered something that's in its place, and therefore it's something that's going to be a chumrah, you have to be mechta mechta, you have to be machmer and assume that it's a full-fledged suffix. However, if it took a piece that was found away from the pile, so I don't know where it was coming from, I just see it with something, and I don't know if it's matzah, I don't know if it's chametz, then I have the right to go after a rov, because that's parish, that would be called a parish, meruba parish, something that was separated from the rov. Now the Gemara continues, shnei tziburin, if there were two piles, achat shel matzah v'achat shel chametz, if you have one consisting matzah and one consisting chametz, then, v'lifneim shnei batim, and two of them, there was two houses, echad baduk v'echad she'ena baduk, and one searched them, and one was not searched, v'asu shnei achbarim, and two mice came, achat shakal matzah v'achat shel chametz, one took matzah, and one took chametz, v'olei adinan ha'alahai ayel v'ha'al ayel, and we don't know which one took it in, so I have, again, I have two pieces, two houses, one fully, baduk and checked, and one not checked at all. And then I have a piece of chametz and a piece of matzah. So the Gemara says that can be compared to hainu shnei kupas, the case of two boxes. Tisanya, really should be tisanya again, a braisa, which tells you shnei kupas, if you have two boxes, achat shel chulin, achat shel chuma. One was of chulin and one was of chuma. So then the chuma, achat shel chulin, achat shel v'naflu, elu toch elu. Sorry, then I skipped the line. You had in front of them two sales filled with produce, and then achat shel chulin v'achat shel chuma, and one of them was with chuma produce, and one was not. And these contacts fell into those contents, and I don't know which one fell into which. Mutarin, I could say that they're mutar. That they're mutar because shani mayer chulin tol chulin naflu, because I can assume, I have the right to assume that both of them went into the proper things, and I don't have to assume that the chulin went into the chuma, and the chuma went into the chulin. Chuma tol chuma naflu, I can assume the chuma went into the chuma. Okay. You know what? Amir Hashem, let's just finish it up. The Gemara says, "Imad Aminon Shani Omer." The Gemara asks, "When do I say this concept of Shani Omer is Betruma Derabanan?" The Chametz Damreisa Mi Aminon. But wait a second, I have this right because you can say Heim Amru Veheim Amru. Why at the end of the day am I assuming that the Kasher went to the Kasher and the Truma went into the Truma, the Chulin and the Chulin? Because that's all Derabanan. Because we know Truma Vizmana Zez Derabanan. Because the Rambam tells us the Mitzvah Derisa. You need most people living in Eretz Yisrael. You didn't have that in the Bayis Sheni, so therefore you never had Truma Derisa. It was only Truma Derabanan. You also maybe need a Melech. Okay, the Shaila, what you need to be Chayim Truma Derisa. So you don't have Truma Derabanan nowadays, so then you can be Mekel. However, over here, how to B'dikas Chametz Dereisa, but when it comes to B'dikas Chametz, the Gemara was assuming at the Havamina it was Dereisa. And now the Gemara says that that's not true. B'dikas Chametz isn't Dereisa, it's Derabanan, Dereisa B'yotob Amasagi. Doing the B'dikas only Derabanan, we've seen before, we quoted this Gemara, and because Midarabanan, really, all you need to do is nullify it. Since I did the nullification, that's going to be enough. At the end of the day, we can assume they're going to make it. You know, I think Amir Hashem tomorrow will just come and run back to flesh out what this, just give a little clarity, because to rush through it, this last case over here, Bez Hashem, we'll come back to this Amir Hashem tomorrow and go with the next case of Tibur Echad. We'll pick up from there, Bez Hashem, tomorrow.